Dr. James M. Perrin is the president-elect of the American Academy of Pediatrics and will be the 2014 president of the Academy. He is a professor of pediatrics at Harvard Medical School and heads the Division of General Pediatrics at the Mass General Hospital for Children. Dr. Perrin leads the Clinical Coordinating Center for the National Autism Speaks Autism Treatment Network to improve care for children with autism and other developmental disorders. Dr. Perrin, we'd like to talk today about some of the recent developments in autism research, diagnosis, and treatment. To start, can you address the upcoming changes to the diagnostic criteria for autism and the new edition of the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual? Do you think these changes will result in fewer children meeting the criteria for an autism diagnosis?
I think that the changes that will take place are going to be moving the categories of autism together into a broader definition of autism spectrum disorders and taking out some of the subcategories that exist currently. I don't think we know yet whether this will really change the numbers of children who will have the diagnosis. The criteria do change somewhat with this change to the DSM-5, but I think it's going to be hard to say how much this will really affect the numbers of children who actually do have this diagnosis.
The prevalence of autism in the United States is now calculated at 1 in 88 children. What is driving the increase in diagnosis?
Well, a good deal of the increase in the rates of diagnosis really reflect much better understanding on the part of both physicians and teachers, as well as parents, on what autism is and their greater sensitivity and awareness of this condition. Many children who've had autism in the past would not have gotten that diagnosis, and they do get it today. So part of it really is just much better recognition of a condition than we had 5 or 10 or 15 years ago. Another part of it is that we've become more sophisticated in our ability to understand certain kinds of disability among children. So children that might have had a diagnosis of general mental retardation 10 years ago might now, in fact, have the diagnosis of autism. The other thing to say, though, is there is some evidence for a real increase in what you might call the true numbers of children with autism, so that the actual condition as well as the diagnosis seems to be increasing in rates. We're not quite sure we understand what the reasons are for that increase in rates. We're learning a good deal more about genetic causes and others, but we're still at a loss to understand all the reasons for the increases.
What have we learned recently about the causes of autism?
Well, we've learned a tremendous amount about the genetics of autism, and we now know that there are hundreds, maybe even thousands of genes that in some way are related to increasing the likelihood of having autism. We thought it might be an easy condition to understand, and in fact it's not, but we certainly are learning a great deal more about the genetics and autism as an important part of what's going on here. Are there other things going on? Undoubtedly there are. In many conditions that are growing in prevalence, not only autism, but things like diabetes and obesity and asthma, we do understand that there's an interaction of the genes and the environment. So there are presumably changes in the environment as well that are leading to increasing rates of autism in children. We don't know, again, what those environmental differences are. They might be things that children are exposed to, or even more importantly, that mothers are exposed to during pregnancy. We will learn a good deal more in the next decade about some of the environmental factors that are associated with increased rates of autism.
Moving on to treatments, what is the latest evidence in the scientific literature about the most effective treatment for children who have been diagnosed with autism spectrum disorders?
I think there are a couple of very important things here. One is the recognition that, like with any other chronic condition, we need to understand that these are really children first and children with autism second. In other words, the first thing to say is that many children will have gastrointestinal disorders or might have seizure disorders and others. They may be related to their autism, but they're conditions that need to be treated directly. And instead of sort of assuming that they're just there because the child has autism, doesn't make sense. These are things we really can treat. We can treat their constipation, their GI disorders directly. So one is really remembering that we do have lots of ways of treating symptoms and conditions that children have, and that's true for children with autism as well. Second, we're learning a good deal more about some of the behavioral aspects of autism, and for many of the behaviors, the problematic behaviors that children have with autism, there are now new medications that are available that can help them deal with those difficult behaviors. So medicines really are improving at this point, too. We're learning some other things that may be really useful about whether certain kinds of metabolic problems are associated with autism, and treating that might make a difference. We're learning about whether there are any dietary changes that may be useful. These are all things that are currently under study, but I hope that over the next 4 or 5 years' time, they will really be able to let us do a much better job in treating autism than we are doing currently. One of the nice things that's happening is a lot of federal support for improving services that children with autism get. And we're working very closely with the federal government to try to improve care for children with autism. We think that's a very important part of the action that's taking place now.
Do you have any final thoughts?
Well, I think it's a tremendously important condition for us to understand more. I kind of remember when, for conditions like leukemia, we didn't have very good treatments. And what it took was getting a lot of different people together to work together to come up with better treatments. I think we need to do the same thing now with autism. We need to really have a lot of people, parents, researchers, physicians, nurses, educators, really working together and coming up with the best possible answers. I think that's where we really need to go forward in improving the care of children with autism.